Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master, New Vrindavan, 1969. This section is entitled, A Kiss on a Lotus. One morning after japa period had ended and the kirtan had begun, Prabhupada came down the stairs from his second floor room to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class. As Prabhupada entered the temple room and walked towards his Vyasasan, all the devotees bowed down. I offered my obeisances and then quickly sat up. Prabhupada paused just before Kirtanananda Swami's bowed head. Kirtanananda Swami raised his head and kissed Prabhupada's foot. My comment: I was stunned. Am I supposed to do that? I wondered, noting that Prabhupada had accepted Kirtananda's gesture of reverence and affection. The roar of thunder. In the class that morning, Prabhupada spoke of the hand gaining strength by supplying food through the mouth to the stomach. If the hand tries to eat independently, it will weaken and perish. Prabhupada used this simple analogy to show that the soul must serve Krishna to be happy. Then Prabhupada called for questions. New Vrindavan was famous for sheltering crazy fellows who had often taken too many drugs before joining the movement. One of them, Mangal, raised his hand. Yes, Prabhupada acknowledged him. Mangal began to explain that using the hand to feed the stomach is not the only way to be nourished. In fact, he said, when people are sick, they can be fed through the anus. All the devotees turned and stared at him. What a peculiar question. Actually, it sounded more like a challenge. Prabhupada thundered his reply. What you have said, that is for diseased persons. We are speaking of how a normal person eats and gets nourished. That way is the hand feeding the stomach. We should accept the standard system. My comment. In a Vyasa Puja lecture, Prabhupada once spoke of the great austerities Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had performed to initiate his preaching. Prabhupada's own austerities were uniquely formidable. Perhaps one of his greatest austerities was dealing with the drug-crazed youths of the 60s. A foundation for the future. I worked as a bricklayer's assistant to support the Chapel Hill Temple. I made money at it, but I also learned how to lay bricks. I thought it would be something I could teach others. With an army of bricklayers, I thought, we could develop New Vrindavan. I informed Prabhupada of my idea when I saw him in New Vrindavan. He approved. Then he described the Indian system of making bricks. First, the clay is shaped into a brick. When they have many bricks, they place them on dried wood and light a fire under them. By the time the fire has died, the bricks are baked strong. I was inspired by Prabhupada's directions. I walked into a field, found some local clay, and formed a small brick. I then threw it in the cooking fire. When I returned a few hours later, the clay had hardened. When I showed it to Prabhupada, he took the brick in his hands and scrutinized it. I couldn't penetrate his mood. Should I continue learning to lay bricks, I asked. Yes, Prabhupada said. This is our philosophy. Learn something and teach others. My comment. I was an ISKCON devotee, the president of a new temple, and a philosophy graduate from the University of Buffalo. Not only was I laying bricks, but I was thinking of it as a possible Krishna conscious career. Prabhupada accepted my enthusiasm, and although he didn't directly comment on my choice of vocation, he left me with a sparkling jewel. This is our philosophy. Learn something and teach others. Learn something and teach others. Simple, yet packed with the sentiments of Vaishnava Seva and the power of preaching. Learn something and teach others. The key to practical study. Learn something and teach others. the mood of a devotee as teacher, learned something and teach others, became grafted to my consciousness by Prabhupada as a fundamental principle of my Krishna conscious life. Parijan, the bricklayer, would have been interesting. Next, the pains of unsimple living. In the name of efficiency, the New Vrindavan devotees brought a second-hand Ringo washing machine. I was one of the devotees delegated to transport it from the main road to the farmhouse, a 2-mile hike. The machine was old-fashioned, built to last, and heavy. A few of us hoisted it on our shoulders. We would carry it a few hundred feet before its weight forced us to put it down. We then hung it between thick wooden poles and, with more devotees helping, we again heaved it upon our shoulders. We strained, walked a few hundred feet, and again had to put it down. We spent hours hoisting, thrusting, pulling, pushing. Finally, we got the washing machine to the well directly in front of the farmhouse. We were all exhausted. We ran an extension cord from the farmhouse to the washing machine. But where would the water come from to fill the tub? We realized that we were going to have to move the washing machine down the valley to where a small stream tumbled from a waterfall into a pond. But what about electricity? As the devotees tossed around possible solutions, someone told Prabhupada about it. His reply, just see. My comment, Prabhupada envisioned plain living and high thinking as the working principle for New Vrindavan. He knew all our work-saving plans would only result in more work. He saw all our muscle straining and ensuing problems as opposing the principle of New Vrindavan. Just see. A garland of affection. My 2-week visit to New Vrindavan passed quickly in Prabhupada's association. When it was time to return to Chapel Hill, a few devotees and I who were headed back to the New York temple climbed the stairs to Prabhupada's room to offer him our respects. We then picked up our bags and started walking down the farm road to the main road. Suddenly we heard a voice from behind us. Uddhav, come up. We turned. Prabhupada was calling from the upstairs window. Uddhav immediately ran back up the stairs. A few minutes later, Uddhav returned, smiling and garlanded with Prabhupada's garland. My comment. Prabhupada offered Uddhav his garland as an affectionate parting gesture. I remember the twinge of envy that pierced my heart. When I reflect on this incident, along with its uncomfortable feeling of envy, I preach to myself. A spiritual master deals with each disciple personally and individually, and one should beware of envying his dealings with other disciples. Do not imagine that his dealings are based on superficialities, likes or dislikes. Dealings between guru and disciple are deep and are meant for the disciple's welfare. In addition, it is not possible for a disciple to understand the depth of consciousness that motivates his spiritual master's action. Uddhav left the Association of Devotees 3 years after his visit to Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. Next section, and the final section of this chapter, send photos. I received the following letter soon after I returned to Chapel Hill. Dear Bhurijan, please accept my blessings. I remember when you were in New Vrindavan with me, you took some photographs with your camera. Please send these pictures to Brahmananda in New York for our Back to Godhead. In future issues, we will be featuring many such photographs of our activities. I hope this will meet you in good health. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami. My comment. I had already sent BTG the pictures I took at New Vrindavan. How amazing it was that Prabhupada remembered my taking pictures. Prabhupada's remembering us fixed our minds on him. Okay. Hare Krishna.